Waddle and Sylvie are with you as you return to the office, just like that annoying coworker that always talks about their cat. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Pull up your pants, take off the bra, and be a man.
Hey, girl.
Your weekend was spectacular.
Was.
It's a beautiful day in the city of Chicago. We're just inside off of State Street in the First Midwest Bank studio across the street from the Chicago Theater.
Not a cloud in the sky today.
It's glorious. It's hot. It's gorgeous. The way it's supposed to be here in late July.
Enjoy this because you're going to blink your eyes.
Right, I know.
It's going to be minus 14.
Don't do that to me.
12 inches of snow.
I'll put it in a bottle. Let's keep this for a while. Bottle a day.
Enjoy
like today.
Enjoy it while you can. And by the way,
yeah,
it's football season.
It's football season. I think Michael Corbin actually summed it up best on Twitter. At Waddle and Sylvia, Tommy Boy 87. He said, it's the end of the Cubs and the beginning of the Bears at the same time.
Yes.
So think about it. Yeah. Like, we are right at the end now of this core. And where they do, how big of a retooling or rebuild it's going to be, who knows?
This is goodbye week.
And we hope tomorrow is the start of something that we've never had
magical.
In our lifetime.
It's a magical. It's the beginning of a magical run.
With Justin Fields, yes. Right. It's all dependent on the kid. It's all dependent on number one. And then the White Sox could be in the midst of a World Series season.
Got to get some help in a couple of areas, but yes, I'm with you there. It's going to be a glorious run for them.
And I don't know what the blank the Hawks are doing. I'm confused. I'm not sure what they're doing. Carmen's going to help us with that. But there's like trades being made. The Sox are going to make trades. The Cubs are going to make trades. The Hawks just made trades.
The Bears made a trade.
The Bear. Look, this is Trade Central right now. Anthony Miller.
I didn't even find out. What did they get?
I still don't actually know.
I think I made this up, that they traded Anthony Miller and swapped late-round picks.
That's all they could do is swap a pick?
They changed
positions?
Full disclosure.
For a guy they drafted in the second round
moved up for? And I still remember everybody, and I hadn't seen Anthony Miller. I remember just the glowing praise coming from a lot of people about what they were seeing in Anthony Miller's rookie training camp. And it was for good reason. I mean, he was a very impressive player. Yeah. Yes. And then his rookie season, I think he had 7 touchdowns.
Right. There was enough hope from that rookie year. You didn't see everything you wanted, but there was enough hope to make you think that that was only the start.
Now, you know, this is an interesting point that I wasn't even, you know, planning on delving deep into, but
I like that.
Like, isn't this kind of the quest for greatness, or at least goodness? We've always said it's a complicated process. The front office has to be able to evaluate talent, and then the coaching staff has to develop that talent. Now, you're a professional. You hold the player most responsible. But based on what you saw from Anthony Miller in year one, did they fail in the development of Anthony Miller, or did Anthony Miller fail himself by not being paying close enough attention to detail? Because if you put the tape on of Anthony Miller, go back to the first game of last season when they were fortunate to beat the Lions. There's Anthony Miller running a beautiful route, making a great catch, touchdown, you know, to give the Bears the lead. If you put the tape, I think earlier in that game, Anthony Miller runs a sideline route and makes a spectacular one-handed catch. And then you put on the tape a little later in the season and a 14-yard route's run at 9.5 yards. You see him maybe drop a pass here. Like, I said this to you last year. I don't think that, I thought he needed a change of scenery. I still think the kid can be a productive player in the National Football League, but where the F did it go wrong?
Well, I think it's in the water at house. And I think it sounds like I'm joking. I'm kind of joking, but it's the system at house. It's everything. It's all of those things. It is the way they draft, the way they must get the guy. Ryan Pace sees what he wants, and he's so sure that guy is going to succeed. He has to trade up for him, doubling the amount of pain when they fail. Like Dan Weider was saying over the weekend when he tweeted, like, there's Trubisky, there's Anthony Miller, and there's Leonard Floyd. Those are, like,
guys that they traded up for.
Really important foundation pieces that should be in the center of your... And I don't think any of them even finished out their rookie contracts in Chicago.
Well, and again, okay.
Think about that.
Yes.
Think about that. Like, none of them saw, I don't believe, their final year of their contract, right?
That is correct.
Mitch didn't get his fifth year picked up. The Bears basically cut Leonard Floyd before his fifth year.
Yeah.
They picked it up and then they cut him.
You could argue that they got through the 4 years and they just weren't given the fifth year option for Mitch. Mitch was here for 4 years.
But still, that's a 5 year contract.
No,
I mean, when you draft someone third overall, moving up to second, you better get your fifth year picked up.
It's a 4 year deal with a team option for a fifth year is what it is. So technically, but I know what you're saying. But again, my point is that where does player development become a large part of the conversation? Like, Leonard Floyd had himself a fantastic year with the Rams.
Right.
Still not a perfect player. Okay, I get it. But at what point do you also hold them responsible for not getting the most out of guys? And again, it's a tricky conversation for me because at the end of the day, when Anthony Miller isn't running a 14-yard route at 14 yards, that's on Anthony Miller.
Right, right. Or like what George told us about... They had this big meeting going into the playoff game. Do not retaliate.
Yes.
Do not retaliate against this guy. What's his name? CJ Watt?
Isn't it Gardner Johnson? Is that right?
Yeah, I think
Gardner Johnson.
Something like that. And he struck against Wims. Wims retaliated, got in trouble during the regular season. They showed the play. They go, he's going to get under your skin and he's going to talk trash all game. Do not retaliate. So do you trust a guy after you just point out on the film, do not retaliate to run the 10-yard out when you're supposed to run 10 yards? Do you know what I mean?
No,
if he can't follow that simple instruction. But again, I also believe they've got a flaw in the way they draft. And I feel that there is a flaw on the way they develop.
No,
I think it's
right.
It's all systems bust, and that's the reason.
Yeah, and here we go. It's enthusiastically beginning. It's weird. And when you see a guy like Anthony Miller that had you so hopeful based on what he did in his first season as a Bear, and again, I blame the player most because this is professional sports, but whether it's Anthony Miller, them not being able to develop him or him not being able to take that next step, it's Leonard Floyd. They couldn't find a way to get the most out of him. And when it's Mitch, where we all said, look, the biggest issue with Mitch is Mitch, but the coaching staff didn't get the most out of a limited skill set. It leaves you a little bit discouraged.
Right, right, right. So he didn't finish my Weider thought. Weider said, to be fair, the three guys that I mentioned, like a guy like David Montgomery, they traded up for. You know, and that so far has been okay. You know, that's a guy I don't know if they've developed well, yeah, or... You know, they haven't utilized him the way he's supposed to be. And he's traded up for a few others. But again, like when you put that much stock in those guys, you have to be right if you're trading up. You know, everyone is going to miss. There are going to be missed draft picks all over the place. But it's doubly hurtful when you're not only failing early in the draft with the number 2 overall pick with Mitch, with the number, 9 overall pick for Leonard Floyd?
I think so.
They traded up from 11 to 9?
I think so.
And then it's the second round pick for Anthony Miller?
He was number 51 overall. Think about that.
So, yeah, and these are all guys who are supposed to be your foundation, but then you're giving up other pieces. You're giving up a 4th round pick to move up for Leonard Floyd. You're giving up, a 3rd round pick that turned into a... What's his name? Alvin Kamara.
Yeah.
To San Francisco. San Francisco got this 3rd round pick just to move up one spot. They traded it to New Orleans. New Orleans picked Alvin Kamara with that pick. Yeah. Like these are all the things. Hey, let's just give a pick to Jacksonville for Nick Foles. A year later, what a waste.
Yeah.
Like these are all these things are the reason why the Bears are in the position they're in, and now Pace could flip the script if he nails it with the quarterback.
He could, but it also, I'm still left with a sour taste in my mouth thinking that Well, you used a second-round pick on Anthony Miller. He should be a pillar for your offense.
Davante Adams was a second-round pick.
And they didn't have to trade up for him, I don't believe. Michael Thomas was a second-round pick.
Allen Robinson was a second-round pick. Go through. I've always brought this up. If you want to see some of the good wide receivers in football, see where they were drafted and see how many of them were drafted in the second round.
Oh, yeah.
And then what the Bears have failed to do with drafting an Adam Shaheen in the second round, with drafting Anthony Miller in the second round. These are all guys who are supposed to be in the prime of their career.
Yeah.
Being stars for the Bears that he has whiffed on.
Which should help them segue from where they are to where they're going to be with a young quarterback. So as we begin Bears 2021 season, and we're enthusiastic, it just the trade of Anthony Miller was another opportunity to revisit what has made you so frustrated about this team over the last several years. Yeah. I guess that's the way it is.
Yeah.
And maybe them moving on from him gives you the shivers because I think he needed. I think both sides needed a clean break.
They got nothing for him. They were backed into a corner where they basically were releasing him. You know, whatever the trade is.
I was geared up for, you know, it's a new day. It's a new era for Chicago Bears football. And then the Anthony Miller story happens, and it was the right decision to make. But it makes you sit back and reflect on just another story of what could have been.
What went wrong? Marcus in Minneapolis, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Marcus?
Oh, man, it's been a while, man. Nice to hear from you guys again.
Yeah, you got it. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, so first off, off subject quick. I don't know if you guys heard about the Derrick Rose news, so I hope you guys can cover that topic today about the Bulls' interest in him.
Well, yeah, he's been on their radar. Will Bonds mentioned that to us, too. Like, I think you're referring to what Woj said, right, on the podcast, that he may not be their number one priority, but AK has him on the radar.
Yep, exactly. So, man, we need that. Oh, my God, I hope it happens. But you guys don't realize how excited to hear that news. But I know you guys are talking Bears right now, so that's the main reason I called. Did we figure out what the Bears got back for Anthony Miller? It was a late pick, right?
Well, what I had heard, and again, I don't have the confirmation for it, is that they swapped. Like, they sent Miller to the Texans, and they get a sixth and give a seventh, something like that. That's kind of the whisper that I heard. But Marcus, I don't want to be held, you know, like, I don't know that to be a fact.
Well, that's kind of what I was hearing, but I just wanted to see if there was anything confirmed. My issue is with Ryan Pace, I like the risk he takes sometimes, but I think he's a bad, terrible negotiator. He buys high and sells low.
Yeah, yeah.
Part of the reason, to me, I maybe everyone has a different opinion. I think Anthony Miller wasn't great, but I think some of his flaws was because of the quarterback he had. So if you get a new quarterback, Justin Fields, who's talented, who's accurate, deep ball thrower, why wouldn't you just take the risk of seeing what he can do this year? Granted, we don't know if Justin Fields will even play this year, but I mean, if you're going to give a second-round pick, you're going to give him up for a potential six- or seven-round pick? Like, I don't think that pick is worth, you know, like, what if he has a breakout year this year for the Texans? I think they should have just kept him. Pace is terrible at negotiating, though. That's all I wanted to say.
Thanks for the call. I thought there was writing on the wall. The first bit of writing on the wall was when we talked to George.
I'll play that when we come back.
The second bit of writing on the wall was the signing of Marquise Goodwin and Damier Bird in the offseason.
You got Damier, finally.
I did.
All right.
I actually looked it up so that I didn't have to listen to you complain about it again. But that was the foreshadowing that was necessary to kind of connect the dots and realize that this deal was going to happen at some point.
All right, so what are you more interested in this week? Is it that, hey, football's here, the Bears are reporting, it's the start of the Justin Fields era, or is it baseball trades in the city of Chicago? And we'll combine the two. Is it the Cubs basically ending their core and going to trade, and there are other guys who could be traded that I was not thinking was going to get traded. We'll play you something from that. And the White Sox. I mean, do the White Sox need at least one more arm than we thought they would need, plus that second baseman? 332-3776.
Miss a show? All your faves ready and waiting on the ESPN Chicago app.
You are listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Just looking at the Bears' Instagram post from today. They just posted like 15 minutes ago. Black just gave me a heads up. You know, they're really dialing up Halas Hall. They've never had a training camp, really, at Halas Hall. You know what I'm saying? Like a real training camp with fans. It's always been in Bourbonnais. Before that, it was in Platteville. And, like, they've got some bleachers up. They're making it presentable for the fans as well. And we want to put out this all-points bulletin for you, the fans, who have gotten tickets to training camp. So if you're like, they're letting only 1,000 in, and that's a great number for us as we are ESPN 1000. 1,000 fans a day get to go to training camp. If you're one of the 1,000 that are there that day, we want you to tweet us using the hashtag ESPN Fan Camp. When you're there, whether it's with a picture, whether it's a selfie, and just say, hey, I'm here at Bears training camp, and you want to be our reporter from that day where you call into the show, you give us what your eyes and what your ears told you. You know, just a couple of minutes. And if we select you for that day's report by you using hashtag ESPN Fan Camp, you will be qualified to win tickets to the home opener. Okay? So I think we're looking for 11 volunteers. You've got to go that day. And of the 11 who are on the air with us, or we pick for the fan of the day that day, you will be qualified to win opening day tickets.
Sounds like a good promotion.
Against Cincinnati, yeah.
So you could be Scooter from Elgin, and you send us, you know, your update on what the kicker situation looks like.
Well, it's Cairo Santos they just gave McMoney to. I hope that's the kicker situation.
I'm really concerned.
Don't
it's a
tell
scooter.
Me that.
It's
I
a scooter in Elgin,
again.
And I just want to let you guys know I've seen a few shanks.
I can't do more kicker stuff. We finally have that settled, right? They finally paid a kicker?
They're kickers, though.
Well, they paid,
I know they're kickers.
Well,
you can say we haven't settled, but we have it all settled, but listen, they're kickers.
Yeah, let me rewind right here. You just said they paid their guy, right? They paid Cody Parkey, too.
No, I know, but this guy's, at least Santos has had success for the team.
He has.
Like hopefully.
How much did they pay him?
Number one, hopefully we'll never have to talk about the quarterback position again. They got their solution there. I know the kicker still is low, but I don't want to do more kicker reports. I've had enough of that whole thing. Over the last 3 years of helicopters over Soldier Field, Cody Parkey is finally down at Soldier. He hadn't wanted to fight the rush hour traffic.
Can I remind you the year that Cairo Santos had?
A very good year.
30 of 32 for a 94 field goal percentage, and he hit 36 of 37 extra points for 97.3%. Extra point percentage. He had a spectacular season.
What did Pace give him? 80 million or 85
million?
Thought
it was keys to the city. I don't think there was any money attached. It was so, keys to the city.
So, like, our good friend Greg Braggs used to do this for us back in the day. Like, Greg used to go to camp in Bourbonnais. He would call in. He would send us videos. We want you to be the reporter of the day. If you are lucky enough to have a ticket to go to Halas Hall for one of these Bears training camps, when you're there, tweet us using that hashtag, ESPN Fan Camp. If we pick you, we'll put you on the air. If you're on the air, you're in the hopper for Bears opening day tickets.
To continue the theme of bringing out the hose and whizzing on the Bears camp campaign, you realize that Cairo Santos, three prior seasons, he hit 44%, 75%, and 83% of his kicks.
But it's gone up every year.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
He had injury issues, didn't he?
Actually, no, it went 83, 75, 44, 94. I was reading them in reverse order. So I'm just saying, you just never know with kickers. Fingers crossed.
Is it like bullpen arms?
Yes. That's a very good call.
And I want to talk about that with the Sox. I was at the Sox game last night in Milwaukee. What a scene. I want to play you this, though. This is January. This told us all we needed to know about Anthony Miller's future with the Bears. You had two wide receivers do the same thing to the same player against the same team in different games. Doesn't that speak poorly to the culture?
I think each of those situations needs to be evaluated separately. You're talking about Javon Wims against the Saints in the regular season game at Soldier Field, and then Anthony Miller in the playoff game against the Saints down in New Orleans. In the first instance, Javon acted impulsively. He let another player get the better of him, and he acted out. He was immediately remorseful. He served a suspension. He said he would do better. And he came back and dropped his butt off
and dropped the ball
to try to help the team. I have a bigger problem with Anthony's ejection because they sat him down and they told him, listen, watch out for this player. He's a punk. He's going to try to get under your skin. And with Darnell Mooney out, we really need you to be in this game and help this team. And Anthony had the benefit of having seen Javon's experience. So I think they need to be evaluated separately. And I've got a bigger problem with Anthony's ejection than I do with Javon's.
Yeah. Is his future in doubt because of that?
That's not up to me.
I it may not be up to him, but when the owner weighs in,
yeah,
George McCaskey, on our show in January, then that's all we needed to hear,
yeah,
right?
And you could see the frustration that the coaching staff had with him as well.
And then, of course, that was the infamous interview where George couldn't resist.
If I could offer, by way of analogy, your broadcast partner, Tom Waddle, when he got into the profession he's in now, I think he would be the first to tell you he struggled.
Just out of the blue.
Well, that's not the first time George has used that analogy as well.
Oh, he's done
that. Oh, my God, yes. He's used that with us before.
That was about Matt Nagy, right? Because Matt Nagy hasn't been, and that he's still learning on the job, that Waddle learned on the job as a broadcaster.
Waddle, yep. I don't think you struggled. We support you, man.
Thanks, no.
You didn't struggle.
Legend.
You're a stud.
Thank you.
Hashtag legend.
Yep. Coast to coast. Okay. NFL Network, ESPN Network, ooh, flying all over the place. You're a stud. Don't let McCaskey tell you you struggled.
It's totally cool. It's
I'm
totally
going to hashtag that ESPN fan camp and say Waddle is a star, superstar at that. From my vantage point at Bears camp.
That's fantastic. Thank you.
We're not allowed.
It means everything.
They are not allowing us to broadcast from there.
No, I think we're at pancake shops down the street.
Is it Buttermilk's? Is that what it's called?
I want to get it right, but I know the guys are going to be out in Vernon Hills, I think, right there on the corner of 60 and Milwaukee Avenue, if I'm not mistaken.
That's awesome. I can't wait for that. But we need you to be our eyes and ears other than JD and Dan Weider.
Yeah.
We've got that covered, but we want you to do that as well. Let's get to Mike in Hanover Park. Mikey, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Hey, a number of things. As far as the Bears go and their draft picks, I think they should take a page out of the White Sox. I think the White Sox scouting is phenomenal, and you can see it every time they bring up somebody. He's somewhat successful. I think they have a hard time evaluating talent. And especially talent that will last in the NFL. Secondly, nobody's talking about Tony La Russa and yesterday's game, letting Kopech hit.
Sylvie and I had this conversation.
We had a big discussion
in the bullpen. We did a baseball tutorial on a mistake that was made yesterday.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, not on the air. No, you want that now, Mike? You want us to give it to you right now? I'm talking about the La Russa
tag. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Okay.
Also, yeah, go ahead.
No, finish up, and then we'll get to that.
Well, just kind of to finish up, my name's not Skippy, but I'm going to be going to training camp. Actually, I have two, training camp and family fest. Next week, I guess it is.
It was actually Scooter and Elgin, I think. Scooter,
you're right.
Do you have a Twitter account, Mike?
Yes, I do.
All right. Well, tweet us when you're there. All right. And we may pick you and you could come on again and then you'll be qualified for those opening day tickets.
I will do that.
Especially
since I saw Trubisky a couple of years ago and I could tell you right then just from watching him. It wasn't very promising.
It's going to be a struggle.
Mike, that's what we're looking for. We're like looking for people to get their biggest takeaway when they're there. Like a couple years ago, it was like, oh crap, the quarterback doesn't look right.
Right.
Like we think. And there were some here in denial, Others were like, okay, it's good food for thought. Let's see where this advances.
Keep an eye on it.
Keep an eye
just
open.
Keep an eye on this.
Yes. And then sure enough, and that's what we're looking for. Do you want to get, let's get to the White Sox next, all right?
Okay.
And I know, because I know me, and I'm going to look in the Twitch camera. I'm the hater here, right?
Yes.
I'm the La Russa hater.
Yes.
Yeah, I got it out for him.
Yes.
I got it out for the Sox because I'm a Cubs fan.
Yes, that is correct.
No, it's not all correct. Back me up here. So Waddle brought this up to me because I was too busy.
Because you were at the game.
I was at the game and I was buying the Sour Patch Kids and the custard and the
you were busy with your oldest son enjoying the atmosphere of a ball
game. Trying to explain him the chants going on and everything like that. We did a late drive up to Milwaukee and it was delightful. And then also on the north side, there was one name that I heard mention on last night's game because I was there. I didn't hear it till this morning. That could be traded, and it shocked me. We'll talk about that as well coming up next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie
on ESPN 1000.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Big day for the White Sox. Aloy's back tonight in Kansas City. We got the game right here on ESPN 1000 at 6:30. And you'll have a chance to win White Sox tickets with us on Friday. Waddle and I out and about again. It's our second big event here of the summer. It's Miller time at Oak Forest Bowl. And we're told that this is supposed to be an outdoor venue. I believe the weather looks like it's going to cooperate.
So we get some beach volleyball in.
Right. They've got outdoor volleyball courts. They've got a big outdoor bar. We'll be drinking ice cold Miller Lite. It is this Friday, Oak Forest Bowl, which is at 15240 South Cicero Avenue. Giving away those Sox tickets and that Bears treasure chest of a cooler.
Yes.
It's all brought to you by our great friends at Miller Lite, so make sure you're with us. All right. Big day. I was in Milwaukee. I decided, I was thinking about this on Saturday. I mentioned it, I think, on the show on Friday.
You mentioned it on Friday that you may make a trek up north to Milwaukee to see this Brewers Sox series and take Mason, who is a diehard Sox fan.
Not a diehard Sox fan. Yeah, so I have a 7 and a 5-year-old, and unlike me, they have been, and they're still very young. They don't go out of the way to love sports. They'll watch the crap on YouTube. Mason is,
what's the crap on YouTube?
All the crap on YouTube, Chris. When you're here, you'll know.
It's what all. Do you mean? I have YouTube. What's the crap on YouTube?
Just like with these other YouTube stars. You have 6-year-olds who make millions of dollars to open up gifts.
And oh, the kid?
Ryan.
Yeah. Ryan, yeah.
And then Ryan will be like walking through the house and he'll be squirting his dad with water and his dad's in on it because they're making millions of dollars.
Oh, pranks.
And this is all fun. But then yet when I'm sitting there and I'm trying to have a little bit of breakfast and my kids are looking to spill apple juice and pour water on me.
You're not
making funny.
Money.
Not funny. It's not funny.
Well, you got to film it, though. Well, are you filming it?
If we cash in, I'm in. I'm in for
it's
it.
Like you got to film it first.
Bam Majera and his dad, Phil.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, go doing you'll punch copying. Phil a bunch.
Yeah. What we need is we need you to be sitting at the table having cereal and Mason to walk in and just start punching you in the head and filming it. Have Braxton film it.
How much money can we make? I'm open for it.
I think Bam Majera was making $5 million a year with
Jackass. Wouldn't it be fun if Abdal and I from time to time would just run in and just punch Waddle like he's filming? And just throw baking powder right in his face and just run off.
Like instead of whack-a-mole, whack-a-dad.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds creepy.
Yeah,
and we could workshop the name.
I think we should change the date. Yeah, the name,
where the kids go and they punk their dad and they just beat him up and they film it.
We call it a...
we could start a whole YouTube channel with that. Mason and Braxton's whack-a-dad. And then the kids have to submit their videos of the kids beating up their dad when they're least expecting
it. Didn't, like... Wasn't there a Jimmy Kimmel episode, like, for Father's Day where they did that and they filmed it and it was...
Oh, it's spectacular.
They would bring in, like, breakfast in bed and then throw the food at the father.
They also have a good prank on Halloween where it's the opposite, where the parents go into the kids and tell them that they ate all the Halloween candy the next morning.
That's so good. Great.
Kimmel's the best. So anyway, they're not into sports yet, but he's sort of lately... have shown my oldest more of an interest.
Well, he's been to two White Sox games this year. Yeah.
And like, this is the pandemic when you don't go to games. This is where I got the itch. I would go to Wrigley Field with my mom and I'd be like, oh, Bobby Mercer and Dave Kingman. And then I'd be playing in the backyard because I'd want to imitate what I just saw at Wrigley Field. So now that we're able to go back to games, and he says he's a Sox fan. He thinks he's a Sox fan. So as I called it on Instagram yesterday.
What do you mean he thinks he's a Sox fan?
He's
a Sox fan.
The brain's still being developed.
Is he a Bears fan?
Yeah.
Well, how does he know he's a Bears fan? The brain's still being developed.
How old is he?
7.
Okay. Well, and at 7, you weren't a fan? Oh, I was a fan at 7.
I knew every player on the team then at 7. And that's my point is that...
Oh, you're saying his knowledge base of the team isn't as up the snuff as yours.
He could run off every fact about Star Wars. He could tell you about every height restriction to every roller coaster across the country at every Six Flags.
That's good knowledge.
Yeah. There's some crazy knowledge that he has, but it's not the sports knowledge. So my point is if he likes the Sox, I'm going to feed the beast. Like, there are all these Cubs fans giving me crap. You're flipping like Cap. You're doing this. For my 7-year-old, if I could get him to watch a baseball game, all we bitch about here, right? All the shows about the game being slow. How are our kids ever going to like the sport of baseball? How do we get our kids to watch? Well, my kid wants to watch the White Sox. I'm a Cubs fan. So I'm going to take that away from him?
No, he's a Sox fan. Say he's a Sox fan. Not that he thinks he's a Sox fan.
Again, it's being developed.
He's a Sox fan.
It's a work in progress.
Can I support you for a second?
I don't know how you can tell me that Mason is a Bears fan, but you're telling me he thinks he's a Sox fan. He's a fan of both teams.
And to support,
I get it. It's all right.
What?
Yeah.
That?
To support you, any of those people calling you a flipper for that, they're idiots.
I didn't wear socks. I wore a Walter Payton shirt to the game.
Like, if your son chooses a different team, your son's choosing a different team.
And
you can still be a Cubs fan.
We're scheduled. This is a big deal in my house. We're scheduled to go to Cubs Sox at Wrigley on the Saturday, and this will be our first game we go to where we battle.
Well, because I was going to say, will he be wearing his Southside jersey?
If he wants to. Yeah. I'm leaving it up to him. I'm not, again, I want him to love baseball. That's my goal here.
Did he know that Tony made a mistake yesterday?
Just get into that. I'm sorry about the YouTube stuff and all that.
I'm not trying to be a hater either, but I'm just saying, like, that was a mistake, and I wondered if you noticed that from the stands and were
I didn't.
And
I was enjoying the custard, the best frozen custard I've ever had.
Lance Lynn, 6 innings, 6 hits, 1 earned run, did exactly what you needed him to do after losing Friday and Saturday. It's a reason why this White Sox team will probably never go on a long losing streak, because they've got a number of starters that can get you out of any type of slump.
Like, two RBIs too,
and that as well.
What a bulldog!
But in the 7th inning, Kopech came in to relieve Lance Lynn, and instead of making a double switch, because they're playing by National League rules, because they're in a National League park, my thought is that they overlooked this concept, because Kopech was scheduled to bat first in the top of the 8th inning. So if you had Kopech coming in for more than one, which I would assume you were leading in, when Kopech takes the mound, bottom of the 7th, you're thinking, well, this is the bridge. You go Lynn for 6, you go Kopech for 2, you go Hendricks for 1, right?
Right.
Isn't that the bridge?
That's the
to success.
Yes.
Kopech has a little bit of trouble early on, gives up a double to Jackie Bradley Jr., gives up a walk, but finds him a way to get out of the inning.
He seemed up, like he was...
Just up in the zone. Yes, he was.
Everything was high.
Yes. So it wasn't the cleanest inning we've seen Kopech pitch, but he got out of it. The White Sox had a 3-1 lead when he took the mound. They get out of it. They had a 3-1 lead after. Top of the 8th, Kopech is the first White Sox batter.
Right.
So he grounds
batting.
Out.
He's batting.
He grounds out to first. They get through the top of the eighth. Kopech is back on the mound to start the bottom of the eighth. And I believe he walked the first batter, which was the Milwaukee shortstop. And then Tony came in and pulled him for Hendricks, which was a good move because
you batted him, right.
Then Hendricks gets a big boy six out save, which was fantastic. So
he was throwing hard.
He was, and it was fantastic that they went to Hendricks to get the big boy save, the two inning save. But I was left curiously sitting on my couch saying, did Tony just make a mistake because he's in a National League park? Because when you bring in Kopech to pitch the top of the seventh, don't you double switch so that he is not batting?
Oh, let's think about this. Strategically, it's the wrong move.
Yes.
And let's talk about fundamentally with the injuries that this team has suffered. Every guy has suffered a major injury. Grandal is coming back from surgery. You lost your second baseman to a hamstring issue.
Kopech had a hamstring issue,
and he's vital to this team, and now you're letting him bat and possibly run the bases?
Couldn't you have circumvented that with a double switch? I'm sitting on my couch thinking, what's going on?
He should never get to the plate, but I'm just the hater. But they're winning, so Sylvie, he's a great manager.
But I was asking, I came in today and asked you the question because I didn't know, I know you had your son with you. I didn't know if you were in your seat standing up screaming, what the are you doing?
See, everybody, I'm right about La Russa.
I'm right. He's wrong. I didn't know that. But you were
I'm
busy.
Not a hater.
Busy at the concession stand getting Mason something.
He didn't finish his custard, so I had to eat two of them.
You had one and a half.
Oh, that was so good.
Well, that kept you from acknowledging what was going on the field?
Dad moved too.
Custard face all over you?
Not enough napkins. And it was hot. I took three napkins for two ice creams.
So you
and
just
was
conveniently
a
reached over and wiped your face on Mason's Southside jersey, yeah, didn't you?
You know
as
it.
As the Cub fan you
the
are.
City edition.
Take that, Mason.
How much did you spend in treats?
A lot. A lot of concessions yesterday, Chris. There were lots of concessions.
How long did you stay? Yeah.
We finished it. We left in the eighth. Okay. After the eighth inning, we left
solid
for the ninth. Now, remember, before you come at me here, my whole thing about Carmen was not seeing the Sox bat in the bottom half. It wasn't about staying the whole game.
Did Mason want to stay?
No, it was time to go. It was time to go.
For everybody.
Yeah.
Night game.
He is camp today.
So I was just asking whether or not when it was transpiring what your mood was or what your thought was.
3-3-2-3-7-7-6. Tom in Plainfield wants to bust me about not admitting something. Sean in Edinson Park, you be patient too because you got a good point about someone the Cubs maybe should be looking to trade. And then that Rizzo stuff. We'll get to it all next.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
I want to take some of these calls. They're hopping at 332-3776. Don't forget the three easy ways to listen. ESPN 1000, that's AM 1000. We've been there for years, over two decades now. And now we're finally available on the FM side. It's 100.3 HD2. I heard Len mention it on the broadcast yesterday as well, because I think Liam Hendricks hit like over 100, and he called it 100.3. And it certainly was an HD. It was the radar gun, either hotter. Hendricks said the juice is going in that long save. But check us out, 100.3 HD2. Just go to 100.3, go up one spot, and then it will be 100.3 HD2. And, of course, you can listen on the ESPN Chicago app. It's live. It's on demand for the podcast, exclusive pods like our Crosstalk Unhinged, which just dropped on Thursday. Brand new podcast, 30 minutes, uncensored, absolutely awesome. So make sure you subscribe to our podcast as well. All right, let me take Tom in Plainfield. Tom, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
This is not a hater call. This is a call just pointing out to you.
Hater.
Now I know why you did why they have the bit, my wife or the radio partner, because you remind me totally of my wife. Because the statement you said about your son, you won't acknowledge facts unless you twist them to your favor as much as you can. Like, I think he's a White Sox fan.
Get him.
No, he's a White Sox fan.
Yeah.
suck it up and deal with it, and it's okay.
Well, Tom, don't forget, the great Carmen DeFalco, who is one of yours, is a diehard White Sox fan.
He was a Cubs fan
until he was 13 years old.
I'm a Cubs fan, Sylvie. I'm just saying acknowledge the paint on the wall of what it is.
Right now, he's a Sox fan.
He is a Sox fan, and that's okay.
Is this Fred Huebner? Doesn't it sound like Freddie?
No, I just have a cold.
I don't know what that means. It sounds like it was a shot at Fred, but I don't know how.
Well, I don't know Fred totally, and so I don't want to be compared to somebody I don't know really that well. So okay. I'm 53, man. I deflect everything.
All right, me too.
Yeah, you guys are.
So,
when's your birthday?
July 23rd.
All right.
Yes, happy belated birthday. Yeah,
happy
I'm driving with a handicap sticker on the window, so give me a break.
All right, Tom.
You guys have a great day.
Thanks, Tom.
Look, with my actions, I've acknowledged it. Okay. It's still a little painful, but with my actions, I take them to games. We drove to Milwaukee at the last minute.
It's like you being a man, marrying your wife, but refusing to tell her you love her.
No, that's not.
That's
a terrible analogy.
Just enunciate it that he's a Sox fan.
Right now, he's a Sox fan. I'm just saying that his brain is still being molded as his fan.
Right now, he's a Bears fan. He could end up being a Green Bay Packer fan.
No, that won't happen. The Cardinals and the Packers are the only two banned teams in the house. That won't happen. It won't. Because you know what I'm doing with the White Sox is I'm buying White Sox stuff. I paid $176 for two tickets yesterday because it was sold out. So we went to one of the websites. I'm putting money into this. I won't put money into him being a Packer fan. I'll take stuff away from his ass. The Legos will be taken away.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Great America season passes. No more. Find your own way to Gurney, kid.
Your level of maturity has exceeded any level I ever thought.
I think I've taken some steps. I mean, I've evolved as a person with this Sox fan take.
You let your children become fans of whatever it is they want to become fans of.
Not the Packers and the Cardinals. That's where we draw the line. That's it. Sean in Edison Park. You're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Sean.
Hey, boys. What's happening?
What's up?
So we're going to go take out three of my buddies going to the Cubs game tonight to pay our last respects to the old core. And the boys are going to be sticking around for another, 70 games or so here. But just kind of end of an era. It's going to be sad. But I know you mentioned before, I think you're leaning towards Cal Hendricks maybe being shipped out. And I hate to see him go, but didn't get a good return from him. And he's not going to be here when we win again. So it's tough, but I think it's a long shot. What do you think?
Look, this is what I would say to that as the non-Cubs fan here. You should, because you're in a big market with lots of cash flow, be able to rebuild and reload at the same time. It's easier said than done. I get it. But, if you're going to have money to spend, if you're good at your job, you can rebuild this thing sooner rather than later, and Kyle Hendricks can be part of the rebuild. He's cost control. You're going to need to fill out your rotation.
Right.
He
should age well.
Yeah. He's not a power pitcher.
He's on this streak. Now, look, his value is very high right now, and he's cost controlled. You should be able to get a lot for him. But again, you have no pitching. Who do you have going forward?
Yeah.
And this should be a retooling, not a rebuild.
That's
my
point.
So you need to add to that and use his goodness and his contract as a benefit for him on your roster.
Well, that's my point. So next year, you should have money to spend. Like, whether or not they'll spend it is a question for another conversation.
I really think they will.
I think that there's a good chance they will as well. But if you've got the cash, maybe you're in the market for Seager or Correa. Okay, now you're going to re-sign Wilson Contreras. You may end up keeping Javi Baez at your price.
Maybe Castellanos opts out. You sign Castellanos.
Right.
You sign pitching.
So my point is, if you want to burn it all the way down and somebody's willing to give you a king's ransom for Hendricks, I get it.
Boy, you're in.
This is Breaking News, powered by Points Bet Sportsbook. On Chicago's home for sports.
Sean's giving me the
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
If you go to Adam Schefter's Twitter page, gentlemen, in the last 5 minutes, he has tweeted that the Packers are offering concessions and are close to an agreement that would bring Aaron Rodgers back to Green Bay for at least this season, sources tell ESPN. Deal's not done, but it's close. He then follows up by saying the new agreement, once finalized, would help set up Aaron Rodgers' departure from Green Bay after this season, per sources.
As this was one of the outlets that we had talked about, that he'll come back for one final spin because it works best for the team and him. I was also reading tweets from Trey Wingo, who, you know, is obviously dialed into the NFL as well. And this was Trey's tweet about a half hour ago. Hearing Rodgers coming back to Green Bay hinging on trading for former teammate Randall Cobb. If Cobb is in Green Bay, it looks like Rodgers will be too. Connect these dots, Bears fans. You just traded Anthony Miller to Houston. Wasn't Randall Cobb in Houston?
Yes, I believe so.
So not needing Randall Cobb.
They stink anyway. I mean,
I'm just saying, the like, Texans are going to trade Watson. You just made Randall Cobb.
Expendable.
Expendable because Anthony. Just connect the dots. So the Bears have, in an indirect way, found a way to get Aaron Rodgers back to Green Bay. Way to go, Bears!
This sucks. I want to go off on Rodgers. He's got no backbone. I think he needs to reconsider this whole thing. We're back in 2 minutes discussing that.